What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Gym Floor. I told myself I wouldn't say what's up, guys, anymore, and I did, but that's okay. This episode is the one we've been talking about for weeks. We're finally going to talk about how to build an online personal training business. So whether you're currently doing face-to-face and looking to transition, or maybe you've already started some online stuff, but it's just not clicking the way that you want it to, we go through the five areas that we think are really important to tick off to be successful online. So we talk about self, so like personal development, being willing to show up, etc. Systems, what systems you have in your business, why does your business even exist, what problems do you solve, and then what stuff you need to manage. The service itself, what do you need to offer? Sales, broken down into pre-selling, social media, how do you attract people, how do you get people into your business, and then actually converting those people as well. And then skill sets, outside of being good at writing programs and assessing movement, what do you need to actually be good at to be successful as an online personal trainer? As always, don't forget to go check out the website. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We did hit the 1,000 subscribers, so thank you very much to everyone who is subscribed. If you're not, we still want to build that number, get it up over 1,000. So hit the subscribe button right now. Thank you. Go check out the website. We do have a new booking link system to suss out standout PT. So no one comes into that course without going through a conversation with myself first. We're super transparent in terms of how everything works. No obligation for that call. You can either come in just ready to buy standout and you want in, or you just want to see if the problems that you have in your business right now, we can solve for you in the Standout PT program. If you go have a look at the landing page, you'll find all the information about the course to kind of get an idea if it's right for where you're at right now or not. Enjoy the episode. It was a good one. We'll be referring back to this one quite a lot. There's a lot of information in here. There's a lot of high word cadence and a lot of caffeine. We hope you enjoy it. Ciao.
This kind of a shit color.
Yeah.
To wear all the time.
I wouldn't wear a Ferrari outfit.
No.
I found that Lewis shirt you're talking about too.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you buy your shirt from there? Your one?
Yeah. Wherever the place that had that,
yeah,
is where I got mine from.
Yeah. I'm sure there's multiple places of...
Yeah. Yeah.
All that.
Reserve Driver Racing Club.
It's good.
That's what it is.
Oof. Know, I found a... you can get t-shirts that like... They obviously like rip off designs.
Yeah.
And you can put your dog on them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to get some.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have seen them actually. I've been,
yeah,
we're like, getting the same ads right now because we both looked for F1 shit.
Yeah. It's like the... Is it like the Stranger Things or whatever? Like there's a certain style of...
Yeah, yeah.
Graphic and
yeah,
yeah. So that it has, yeah. So it's, it has like the dog's name and then just
that's
so
mad.
I'm gonna get one of
that's mad.
Each of the dogs.
Yeah, I like it. Coffee's like still mildly warm.
Yeah,
interesting dynamic.
Did we?
Padre didn't reply to me. Dogs shared my story for marketing and then ignored my message.
How dare you, Padre? Yeah.
I should send them a picture now. We are live, dogs. Could be talking about you, but we're not.
Maybe they watched the podcast where you called them dogs live.
Maybe. I probably sent it to them. I didn't even watch the clips. Yeah. Tam just clipped it.
They're like, we're not associating our brand with these Neanderthals.
Look, that's the response I'd expect from a coffee supplier that supplies cafes.
Yeah.
Like if they were
meatheads.
If they were some like fucking death zone coffee or some shit, then I'm like... They could see our demographic.
Thirst trap. We'll just hit them up.
I can see.
We really like canned water.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that being advantageous to.
Would you ever buy a can of water?
Canned water. That's a thing. It's a huge thing in American podcasts. Hey.
Yeah.
Nah.
Because they're huge.
Yeah.
Story of it's, you know, one of those.
Yeah.
Kind of just making millions. Didn't think it was a dick, you know?
Mm.
Put water in a can.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like it probably tastes better than a bottle.
It'd be very cold, like once it hits the fridge.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's strange.
Just takes what's it called? Thirst trap.
Yeah.
Hit us up. Yeah, drink it out of these. Bring it out of these peasant glasses.
Because you're listening right now, of course.
We got famous.
1,000 subs. We got 1,000
famous
subs.
Famous around the world. Made 1,000.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
I was actually reflecting on the 1,000 episodes.
1,000 apps.
1,000 subscribers.
Mm.
There's been some pretty exceptional guests along the way. We don't do them much anymore. Yeah, but we're talking to the boys about maybe getting some guests on theirs. There's been some pretty iconic names. You mentioned the day that we had
Jordan and Beeper
on the same day. It's fucking wild, man. Yeah. You think about, like, Jordan was on the way up then. Wasn't Jordan of now, but still.
Yeah,
it was a pretty fucking epic.
Yeah, some big names.
Yeah. The interaction with Ben was great. It's like afterwards, just like, righto, thanks, boys, bye. Like, this is a business exchange. It was great.
Yeah.
Obviously, we made friends with him at the workshop, though.
Yeah.
It was fine.
He knows who I am.
Yeah, we're besties.
It's all that matters. I've completed life.
Yeah. He knew who I was for a month.
Yeah.
From the recording of the podcast to the point.
Probably doesn't remember me now, but that's fine.
We paid him heaps of money to hang out with him for 3 days, and then that was it. He moved on with his life.
Yeah.
It was a good weekend.
It was.
Looking back at it, I think we were annoyed at the time, but we're usually annoyed.
Oh, I was just
cranky old man.
It's always something to complain about, right?
Always. Always. Yeah. So, 6 clients or something? What's going on?
Me?
Yeah, last fortnight.
Yeah.
Oof.
Lots of referrals. I think we spoke about it.
Yeah.
I've got a few more, so.
That's good.
Referrals are king.
Referrals
do your job.
Are it right
Be
now.
Good at your job.
Yeah.
And people talk about you.
Funny that.
Yeah. I know, right?
Funny that, like, all this shit we talk about. I'm about to spend an hour talking about how to become an online trainer, and Jay's just like, referrals, be good.
But you still got to do the thing. You still got to get yourself out
there.
Still
got to have the pathway, right?
Still got to have your eyeballs, the you eyeballs
have
on you.
Something for people to refer you to.
Yeah.
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 So here's how we're going to do this episode. Because I've planned it, but we haven't talked about it because we never do.
Yeah.
Because even me planning it seems obnoxious, to be honest.
I'm actually very impressed.
How dare I?
Well, we kind of promised we'd get into it today.
Yeah. What's,
we won't talk shit.
What's Alex's thing is like 2 minutes of preparation raises your IQ by 20 points or some shit.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about this for the whole day.
Wait.
Since yesterday.
So after 2 minutes, it exponentially goes up or it's just...
Yeah, he talks about going into meetings.
Capped at 2 minutes?
I assume so, yeah.
So does that mean the less you plan it, the smarter you are? Like, I'm pretty fucking smart then.
I think his point is just like actually stop and have a think about the fuck you're about to do and before you do the thing.
Yeah.
Because most people don't. They get into the room and they're like,
of course.
I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we at least took screenshots for the fit. Well, I did. You've got notes in your phone, mate. You prepped.
I was prepared. Don't worry. I've never really come unprepared, to be fair. Have you ever seen me that unprepared?
Look, you say every week I've got nothing to talk about, and then we're like, oh, we only got 3 of
I got high
20
standards.
Clients.
I got
high questions.
I've got high standards.
Yeah.
Hold myself to a high regard. You know?
So, the title of the episode,
yeah.
Tam, write this down, is going to be how to move your business online. Or how to become an online personal trainer. That one's better, Tam. Use that one. How to become an online personal trainer.
Okay.
So we're talking to anyone who has some face-to-face clients.
Yeah.
And who's like, this online thing looks good. I want to go in that direction. Maybe you're already started, but it's not working as well as you would like. Because if you were killing it, you probably wouldn't listen to the episode. You'd read the heading like, I'm the best online coach.
I'm already an online trainer.
Help. I'm the best.
Yeah.
Fuck these guys. Hit subscribe. And
if you're so good,
yeah,
hit us up and let us know the secrets.
We'll pay you. Yeah. Just hit the subscribe button first and then you can piss off. It's fine.
Yeah.
So I've actually had a fucking bunch of conversations about this in the last like month for some reason. Everyone wants to talk about it right now. So I just mentioned...
Going online?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just mentioned the idea that you're a face-to-face coach and that's a loaded preposition because we are both of the opinion that you should have some hours logged before you go online.
Oh, lots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thinking about it on the way here, there's two coaches that I would probably put maybe in the top 10 people that I would think of when I wrote down online coaches that I would stand by kind of thing. And I was like, fuck, they never did personal training. But they both worked at football clubs or NRL clubs for an extended period of time. So they were still coaching.
Okay.
So I was like, does that give them a pass? I still think they're very much outliers.
I don't think it's representative of the median.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I threw out 1,000 hours.
Yeah. So what did we work that out to be? 5 years, yeah?
No, it's like 30 sessions for 12 months.
I still don't think that's enough.
No?
No.
I think it depends on who you train.
So you... Yeah. Okay. Keep going. Continue.
So Ben that we have now has
yeah.
clients that he would train in the gym. The training yeah. in the gym doesn't work for.
Yeah.
That he now trains online.
Yep. It's perfect.
That's I don't think perfectly he fine. Could be an online bodybuilding coach tomorrow.
Yeah. So I need to remove
your bodybuilding lens.
My bubble.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah.
yeah. Not prep coach.
Yeah.
Just online trainer.
Yeah. Because I forget that other people exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that? I can hear people talking.
Yeah, I can too.
It's very distracting.
Is someone playing music or watching TV?
Maybe it's the neighbors or something
okay.
talking. It's very strange.
Is it the school? Might be the school.
Oh, it might be. Yeah, an announcement.
So and so, can you please go to the principal's Ooh. Office? Yeah, yeah. Someone fucked up.
Okay, so we're prefacing with that. So if you've done at least a year on the gym floor, at least 30 sessions a week, or accumulated 1,000 hours on the gym floor watching people, yeah, then I think you have the prerequisites to be able to train that type of clientele online.
Yep.
The more niche you become, the more specific you become, probably that timeline extends itself.
Yep.
What hopefully that you will see today as well is it's not the glory that you kind of think it is.
Yeah.
It's just like really annoying, hey? Because I think people think like, oh, if I go online, I just have to do a 10-minute check-in a week and that's all I have to do. And
yeah,
I'm spending trading time for money on the gym floor and time for money's bad
yeah.
and
yeah.
blah, 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 blah. And you sold this dream of like, go online and everything's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But it's not like that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the way we're going to talk about it is using our 5-pillar structure. So we have self, systems, service, sales, skills. They're the 5 areas that we operate in. It's what our standout PT program is designed around. It's how we, when we look through, it's the lens we look through at everything for personal training.
Mm.
So self, mentality,
mm.
business owner mentality is a thing we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
Which is essentially the combination of a growth and ownership mindset, which I explained yesterday as like, you've got to be able to be willing to try and fuck it up
yeah.
repeatedly for an extended period of time.
Absolutely. And you need even like just shoot your shot knowing that it most likely isn't going to go like work out the first, I don't know, 20, 30 times.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not saying it won't, it will be like that, but you've got to shoot your shot it's knowing that it's not a, it's yeah. not a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Because how many people, yeah. It's like there's so many people that hide online because they're worried about what other people are going to think or because the outcome isn't set in stone.
Yeah.
And nothing happens
yeah.
because of that.
And it's worse.
Yeah. And you just can't have that mentality. Yeah. Can't have that mentality in business in general, but...
Yeah. Yeah. I had one sort of audit call this week. Hit me up if you want to have one of these conversations one-on-one. My only catch is I sell you standout PT at the end. Around like her socials, and she actually got like a bunch of template stuff made.
Yep.
Which is great. Like Forward Moves create a lot of it.
Yep.
I think this was actually from there. Really, really good content, really useful, particularly for that demographic that want the food swaps, that want the hydration reminders, that want the all of that kind of content. I think it's really useful. But I had a look at the page and I was like, it's just that.
Yeah.
Which there's so many pages that are just that.
Yeah.
And it's like, so who do you train?
Mm.
Who do you work with? And I said to her, I'm like, you do that because
it's easy to just...
you didn't write it. So if you put it out and it doesn't do well, it's not your fault. It's not a reflection on you.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about whether it's correct. You don't have to worry about a personal trainer commenting on it. You don't have to worry about any of that. You just get to put it out.
Yeah.
And then everything's okay. And she was just like, oh, fuck. Yeah, you're 100% right. So, I think, yeah, when it comes to content creation, you're going to have to be willing to just have a crack.
Yeah.
Especially starting out, you don't have to cold DM. You can build relationships and all of that. But at some point, you have to, like you said, shoot the shot.
Mm.
And you get left on scene a lot. And you have a lot of people tell you, yes, I want to do it, and then disappear. No different to you do face-to-face. Yeah. Like, I think people think it's hard. You can't just say, like, don't take it personally. But, like, how many numbers do you dial in the gym to get people to answer?
Yeah.
It's like, we know, like, only 50% of people answer. Mm. So, the DM is the same as the dial.
Yeah.
So, if you take it at that metric, like, 50% of people aren't even going to respond to you.
Yeah.
And accept that from the start. It's like, okay, well, that makes it way less rough if I've accepted that that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to assume that. If it's going to mean that I'm a bad person, they don't like me, it's going to be a fucking hard road for you.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I'm a big fat failure.
Spoken like someone who's been there.
That's the perpetual cycle.
Yeah. Right? I think then the other point is, particularly if you're in that more gen pop sort of market, clients also like to hire online coaches so they can hide from real accountability and an appointment and all of that. And it's like, if I just pay for this, then everything will be fixed. The percentages of negative interactions will be higher online than it is face-to-face because people don't like conflict in real life. So, like, I've had not many, but a couple of, like, pushback. Like, you said this, you said this, you said this. It's like, well, obviously, you're able to reply and say it's all here. But you get that more often than you would in face-to-face environment. So, be prepared to have more tough conversations with clients.
Yeah.
Because they'll avoid it if it's face-to-face.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, people that you've... It happens face-to-face as well, but, like, people that you've coached for a really long time that you think you have a really good relationship that just, like... disappear or cancel at the bank, or because we have an admin email address, it's like it's like just itches me a little bit when, like, you've had a client for ages and they just email admin and don't tell you. You're like, oh, I found out from my accounts person that you're leaving.
Yeah.
But that happens. So you have to be willing to deal with all that.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a skill set you build again in the face-to-face environment? Like, we always talk about being able to communicate and all that kind of stuff, but I think, like, that resilience, thick skin, accepting rejection, moving on to the next one and
it's
stuff.
Not as immediate, so I think you have to have, like, there's a lot of benefits from starting out in the gym that carry over to building the business in the online space. Is it you to build a face-to-face business, like, you need grit, determination, resilience.
Yeah.
So if you've built a business like that and you know what it's taken to get there, you're going to take some of those lessons to the online space.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you're kind of starting out just going, I'm going to get my cert 3 and 4 and just do online training.
Oofed.
That's going to be pretty tough.
Oofed. Yeah.
Yeah. I would be really curious to know how many people have done it.
I think you could do it if you were basing your sales on either how you look or your magneticism for whatever reason. Like, it's appearance, charisma,
but again, you're like,
personality, whatever.
That's probably sitting, like, I think as a general...
It's a very small...
Like, if 100 people finished their Cert 3 and 4 and went straight online, out of those 100, who are making it?
Yeah, there's two of them that have that raw...
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, that luck that they...
Yeah, then you got the ones, like, who've built a personal training business out of that 100... How many of them make it?
Yeah.
And then enough. I would argue still, the longer someone's a face-to-face coach, the more successful
the transition is.
Yeah.
So the other thing we talk about inside self is, like, goals. Just, like, direction, knowing where the fuck you're going.
Yeah.
I think with online, it's the same idea of what do you actually want your weeks to look like and where do you want to be 3 years from now?
Yeah.
Matters just as much.
Yeah, of course.
Because if you think, once I get some online clients, I'm done. And I get to just do check-ins. You're going to be, unless you're one of those 2%, you're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of content creation. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of product development. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
Beyond just training the person.
Yeah, serving the person.
Responding to the person.
Yeah, serving the person. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you've got to, there's wheels that need to be pushed that people don't see. And it's, you're not really that committed to a time.
Mm.
So it's no different to like self-paced learning.
Yeah.
It's like to get the learning done, you still have to have a structured day, because if you just push it, it's like you're either going to do it and it's not going to be that effective, or the quality is going to be really low, or you're just not going to do it at all.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very similar. Like when you have a business that's online, it sounds good to just like sit at a cafe or be on a holiday and open up your laptop and feel awesome for 5 minutes. But
there's, do you remember you're working on holiday?
Yeah. But there's a lot of, yeah, like work that happens to continue to keep the business kind of moving.
Yeah.
To keep yourself in the forefront of people's attention span, and you're competing with a lot of people to do that. And yeah, you need to refine your products. You need to, you know, kind of, I guess, continue to evolve and create new services. Your whole ecosystem needs to be added to all of the time.
Yeah.
There's other people obviously making moves, so you need to keep tabs on like who the people in your space are and what they're doing, and you know, do your clients and prospects want those things? How's that going to look for you? When can you pull the trigger on those things? If you're not doing any of that stuff, and that all comes from kind of setting your goals and knowing what a week looks like, you're going to struggle a lot.
Yeah. And I think when you become a face-to-face trainer, you start at zero, but you've got rent and you've got bills.
Yeah.
And usually you have no other income. And like we see it all the time, the people that do have another income, the same thing happens. I'm about to explain, they fail because they've got a fallback. So when you're a face-to-face trainer who's making a decent enough income, and then it's like, oh, I'm going to go online, and then online's hard. It's like, oh, I've just put another couple on face-to-face.
Yeah.
We've seen it heaps. Like we've brought on, we brought on coaches for periods of time that were, had their own face-to-face businesses and were online coaches for us. We had KPIs they needed to hit and all that kind of stuff. And as soon as you saw things get hard, you'd just see their numbers drop straight away. Because all their energy was like, oh, I can just walk onto the gym floor and ask someone,
pick someone up
and get a personal training client and fix my income that way rather than...
Yeah, which is way more immediate.
Correct. Yeah. So, all right, all of that made online coaching sound really shit. What are the upsides?
You can have a very flexible lifestyle to a degree. You can work with a lot of people that aren't bound to the location of where you live or where you train, sorry, which means that you can train a lot of really awesome people and build some really cool relationships all across the country and even like, you know, internationally. So it's, yeah, it's really, that's the really cool part of it.
Yeah.
That's
a huge, I like every single person I train.
Yeah. Yeah. The stories are mad. And like the relationship thing is something that I struggled with at the start because that was a weakness for us anyway.
Yeah.
Just like networking and, you know, interacting with people.
Yeah. When they're not standing in front of you.
Yeah. So the more I've leaned into that and obviously worked it out, the funner the job has become.
Yeah.
Because you just get to do so many different things, or so many different things can happen.
Yeah.
My clients stay at my house.
Yeah, same. It's wild.
Yeah. They come and holiday and stay at where we live, and we go out for dinner and we train, and, you know, I'm traveling all over the country later in the year to, you know, help everyone with their comps and stuff. So that's a really cool thing. Like, it doesn't happen a lot with your face-to-face business.
Yeah.
So that's a really awesome part of it. And then, yeah, it's like flexible in terms of the work just needs to get done, but it's kind of not at the same time because it's still somewhat time sensitive.
Yes, because it's got to get done. Yeah.
And you've committed to...
Yeah.
Things getting done for that particular person in a certain time frame.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
I had a little bit off topic, but kind of not. I had a conversation with my wife in the last couple of weeks where I was like, I feel like I've spent the last, in particular, 5, but maybe longer, especially the last 5 years, designing my life to look exactly how I want it to.
Yeah.
I'm a start at this time. I'm a train at this time. I'm going to do this at this time. My week's going to look like this and everything's going to be,
yeah,
this is awesome. And then I had a kid. It's like, fuck everything that you want when you want it.
Now we're about to do a startup, a business startup.
Yeah, yeah. Again, fuck any of the boundaries you thought you had. This needs to happen. So, yeah, I think pre-child, my week looked immaculate. It was exactly how I wanted it to. Training was when I wanted it to be. Food was when I wanted it to be. Everything was really, really deliberately kind of designed. Like, people talk about design your life, fucking had it.
Yeah.
Still do. I still look at what I'm doing now way better than split shifts.
Yeah.
Definitely wouldn't want to be going to the gym at 5 till 10 and then fucking 4 till 8 again. Mm. Like, that sounds horrible. And it's definitely better than clocking in 9 to 5 as well.
Yep.
The hard stuff is just sometimes, like, you're on your phone at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Because you're talking to a prospect or you're engaging with someone or a client. You fucking got that itch about responding to a client, even though you know you shouldn't, but you still do.
Yeah, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. So, yeah, but I think lifestyle-wise, definitely is a huge net plus.
Yeah, it can be really good.
Especially, like, if you're in your 20s, just fucking, like, living life to your design.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully that sounded good enough for people to pursue it and not turn this off.
Yeah. I think it's important. The goal of that initial segment is just to get you to think the trade-offs. Because if you come in expecting none, you won't make it.
Yeah.
You've got to understand that it's still running a business. It's still got its challenges. It's not just like a free pass to do fuck all and work on the beach.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like that.
Yeah, it's, yeah. And you can't just put it in your bio and expect people to show up and want to work with you. Yeah.
Quick break in the episode, guys. I just want to ask you one question. Are you running a business or are you working a job? Running a business means thinking like a business owner, having systems that do all the grindy work for you, a service that's guaranteed to get your clients results, social media and referrals that are driving business to you, and getting leads that you always close. If instead you feel like you're lost, you're stuck, you're at the mercy of your clients, you're just working another job. If that's you, you need to check out Standout PT. It's our signature education program, a 26-week online course designed to take you from working a job to actually running a business. The average coach that goes through Standout PT and completes all the modules gets a 300% increase in revenue inside their business. We have weekly workshops, weekly Q&As, and over 30 units for you to go through, all with text and video to make sure you're totally covered for everything you need in your business. Just head to stcfit.com, navigate to the Standout PT page, and book yourself a free, no obligation discovery call and see if Standout PT is right for you. Back to the show. All right, so next is systems. So where we, sounds counterintuitive, but where we start with systems is identifying your place in the market and why your business exists. We call it a value compass. It's been on the website. If you haven't already done it, go do it. The free whole workshop is on there. The 30 minutes of actual content. It'll take you 90 minutes to do the whole thing. Every single person I spoke to who on this topic in the last 2 weeks, was probably like half a dozen, maybe more people, went on their Instagram profile and had absolutely zero idea who they worked with, what outcomes they got, who they were, what they cared about.
Yeah.
Just nothing. There was nothing on there that I was like, oh, so you do this.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, so this is yours. And then mine's not perfect. I would never pretend that my social media is perfect. Pulled out the first 9 slides after my pinned posts.
I'm going to pull mine up just so that I can.
And I was like, tell me what I do. And there's a picture of there that, like, I look like a meathead. and I was like, that's actually important.
Yeah.
Because the person I don't want to work with sees me look like a meathead and goes, oh, I don't want to work with him.
Yeah.
Because I'm too intimidating or whatever. It's like, well, that's not for me.
Yeah.
Then there's a before and after picture of Mads, who's jacked and shredded. It's like, if that's intimidating, you're not going to want to stay here.
Yeah.
What else is there? There's a couple of pictures from comp. And if you scroll through, it's like all the client photos are females with barbells. All the us photos are either me training or there's obviously authority building with me presenting.
Yeah.
All the way through my feed. And then I try not to leverage my child because he literally gets more engagement than anything I put out.
Yeah.
So I try and only do it once a month. But that's littered through there as well.
Yeah.
Just again, as like a, this is who I am, relatable kind of situation.
Yeah. And that's going to appease your family and friends that follow you.
Yeah.
As well.
Not that I care.
Not just your audience. Yeah. Well, that's why you probably get so much traction, right?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. The people that pop up.
Yeah.
That like
the personal
that stuff,
posts always do way better.
Yeah.
Like, because you're getting everyone.
Yeah.
Where like, if I just, you just put something up about getting strong with Jack, it's like, it's only the people that want it.
Correct. No one else cares. Yeah. It's funny. I'd never go on Facebook and then like, I'll open it for something.
Yeah.
And I'll see like fucking 3 weeks of notifications. And if you've hit a, I'll be like, oh fuck, there's 10 comments on a photo of LJ that I didn't even think to go on Facebook and look at.
Does your Instagram send? Yes.
So yeah.
Mine does that all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just because, like, I don't know, maybe someone from high school will want to do coaching with me at some point because that's the only people I have on Facebook.
Likewise.
Yeah, hilarious. So, really getting to know who that person is.
Yeah.
So, the strategy we go through is there's three ways to kind of navigate your niche, who you get the best results with, who you enjoy training, who's willing and able to pay.
Mm-hmm.
The last one, if you're a Gen Pop coach, fucks most people up.
Yeah.
Because they think the same person that's willing to pay them in the gym is willing to pay them online, and they're not.
Yeah.
Because the person who's paying you in the gym, I don't know, 8 times out of 10, it needs an appointment to show up.
Yeah.
They hired you for motivation. They hired you because if you're there, they'll show up and do the thing. They want to outsource it. They don't really enjoy training.
Yeah.
It's not a top 3 priorities on their list, even top 5. They need you there to execute. You take that away, they're not paying for it anymore.
Yeah.
Or executing it anymore. Yeah.
That's where that's where I feel the mental pushback with the 1,000 hours.
Yeah.
Is because most people aren't, after 12 months, that dialed in on one person.
Yeah, I get it.
And
even
skill set and delivery, it's like there's, like, you're competing with other people. So it's like, what are you doing that's drawing a specialist outcome or a specialist need to that person?
Yeah.
So then working with the general population, like, 80% of the general population need a face-to-face trainer.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah, and we still get it now. I sent one this morning.
Yeah.
We got an inquiry yesterday, and I was like, this has to go to a face-to-face coach. This can't. This is not
yes.
Us.
Yeah.
We can't do this. Yep. But yeah, I think like you said, most trainers don't have this dialed in at ever, let alone the 12 months.
Yeah.
So I think going through this process at least gives you a shot if you are at that kind of 12-month period looking to transition.
Definitely.
So knowing them intimately, so those three layers. So one, are they willing and able to pay? The results thing's easy. It's like, what are you really good at? It's usually what you're the most passionate about because that's what you'll learn in your own time.
Correct.
What was the other one? Oh, who you like training.
Who you like to train, who you get the best results.
So the who you like to train thing, it doesn't sound that important. It sounds like it's an enjoyment thing. But one of the conversations I was having yesterday was like, personality coming through on your socials is becoming ever more important.
Yeah.
Because it's all based on relationships. So when you go online, you call yourself an online coach straight away. Like, you're still a personal trainer.
Yeah, I tell people when they ask me what I am, I'm a personal trainer.
Yeah.
It
just sounds so much sexier to say online coach. I don't know.
I hate describing it though. So I just say I'm a personal trainer and everyone's like, I know what that is.
Yeah. You dance in front of classes and shit.
Yeah,
right?
With the spandex on.
carry your phone around and do Zoom calls.
Well, that's when I say online training, that's what. Okay. So I'm just like, I need to disassociate. I would rather be the fucking dude up the front of a Zumba class than the person like sitting on a phone.
Yeah, shell bot.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Where was it? So, yeah. So when someone hires someone online, I told the story about, so when I was working with Will Crozier for 4 years, I think. He was my coach, maybe 3. I got asked quite a few times, like, you're a powerlifting coach. I was like, well, I'm not. I'm a strength coach, but yeah. I do have some powerlifters. So a coach who
does powerlifting.
Correct. And I have some people that do the sport. But you always tag your coach who has a bigger following, is a more successful athlete. At the time, I would have said I hired him because I thought he was the best in the country at what he did. Mm. It's like, oh, you tag. Aren't you worried that prospects will go to Will? And I was like, if they like Will, they'll go to Will.
Yeah.
If they like me, they'll come to me.
Definitely.
Yeah. Like, it's not...
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
If that level of status in the powerlifting environment is important, I'm not the right coach for you anyway.
I agree.
So, yeah, they're not... Whether I tag Will or not, they're not coming to me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Whereas if I do tag Will, they're like, oh, he has a coach. He walks the walk. He does the stuff that he tells other people to do. He's learning. He's in amongst a circle of other people, blah, 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 blah. So it's like way more advantageous for me to actually associate with arguably the best powerlifting coach in the country at the time.
Yeah, well, it shows that you're willing to put time and effort and invest in your own training and education and whatever.
Yeah.
So
I can expect someone else to do it.
That person knows that you live by what you say. Because it's amazing how many personal trainers aren't an advocate of the product they...
Yeah.
They,
oh, man, sell. It blows my mind when people come through. I'm like, oh, so have you had an online coach before?
Yeah.
No.
What
are you selling then?
Yeah.
How
can you sell a product you're not an advocate for?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really tough.
Amazing. Yeah, that it's really wild. I've that's the post I've like put together and deleted so many times.
I see it all the time. Like personal trainers I know have coaches that don't tag their coaches. And then get annoyed their clients don't tag them.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it's the same behavior, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
It's a fear mentality, though.
Agreed.
Because it's like based around, well, if that person's coaching them, then I may as well just leapfrog them.
Yeah.
And they don't understand that it's not just about that.
Correct.
It's, relationships, tone, likability, language, all of those things that this person may have the knowledge and maybe a little bit more experience, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're the best for you.
Agreed.
Because if you guys don't connect and you don't gel, I'm telling you now from someone who went to someone purely for their intellect and experience, it did not work.
Yeah.
It was the worst experience ever.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I went to someone who was arguably smarter. However, got along like a house on fire, which was way more,
much better outcomes.
Yeah, and stayed with that person for a really long time.
Yeah.
And got really good outcomes. And
Look at Jess and I. So I coach Jess. From a client perspective, one of the most quoted things that I get is like, people see Jess and like, I want to be like that. From looking at my content, they see Jess, they see a few of my other clients, they're like, okay, you do that and I want that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know... When Jess posts her content, just as many people go, she does that, aren't we about like that, so I'm going to pay her.
Yeah. People are just going to go, I would probably prefer a male coach.
Yeah.
And, whatever your demeanor and tone and language and message is, and then other people are going to be like...
Slay queen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And it works really, really well. And we actually, written on paper, if you take the personality element out of it, and I think this is the part that people miss.
Yeah.
On paper, Jess and I would write the same demographic of who we train.
Yeah.
25 to 35-year-old women who want to look better and be really strong and have already trained pretty substantially and just need the guidance, the accountability, and the increased results that comes with specified coaching. Exactly the same between the two of us.
Yep.
The difference is literally just in the personality of the person we want to work with ourselves and who we are affects who we attract.
Yeah. Messaging is everything.
Yeah. So the biggest problem we see with personal trainers is they hesitate to put their
personality
anywhere.
Yeah. And they don't have the confidence to stand by a message. So they just sit on the fence.
Yeah, please everyone. And
And we did that for a while too. Now, you just don't really kind of, no one pays attention to you when you sit on the fence. It's like, have a message, have a method, have a way of doing things, stand by it. Mm-hmm. You will get people that'll be like, that is, I don't subscribe to that. And then we get other people where they're like, I fucking love this person.
Yeah. Which is what you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I want someone to go on my page and go, oof, nah. I want to be too much for a certain demographic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like your clients would look at mine and go, it's not enough.
Yeah,
where's
possibly.
The grit? Where's the fucking ab veins? Where's the, you know what I mean? Like it's another.
Yeah.
Just different interpretation of what's going
Agreed.
On.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right. So that's identifying who you work with is going to build the rest of your business.
Yeah, this might be a part one and two.
We'll see. Pod. We'll see how we go. We've got, we're 40 minutes. We'll be all right.
Oh, no.
That honestly is the thing people miss the most.
They don't spend enough time on it.
So what I did with the girls yesterday in particular I spoke to, I was like, who's your favorite client? So the first question I asked was, who do you train? And it was like, oh, 25 to 40-year-olds to body composition. I'm like, that's fucking nothing. Yeah. Everyone does that.
That's the whole world.
Yes. Yeah, so like, who's your favorite client? Why do you like them? What are their goals? How long have they been training for? What are their issues? Blah, 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 blah. And they were like, oh, I love this thing, this person thing. Would you be happy to have 30 of them? Yeah, it'd be amazing. I'm like, cool. Can you write content for that person? Can you speak to that person? Can you be yourself in front of that person? Yes, 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 yes. Cool. Everything you do from now on is for that person.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I get it. So that's why I wanted to spend so much time there.
Do you think the younger people are, the harder that's going to be because they potentially don't even know who they are? So, like, if I look at, so would I have been a great coach between 20 and 27 when I didn't even know who I really was and I was still trying to figure myself out? So then when people are like, be yourself, I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not saying it takes that long for everyone. Mm-hmm. But I think that, like, it just got to a certain age where I was like, this is it. This is me. This is who. This is how I talk. This is how I act. I don't care if you don't like me anymore. Yeah. I have a small circle of friends. I'm cool with that. I don't need to walk into a room and everybody like me.
Yeah.
You know, because you kind of have to possess those things to for people to go, he's my cup of tea or he's not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know if it's an age thing, maturity thing. I think if you're focused on serving that one individual client and you're still, I don't think it matters that much. You're still figuring yourself out.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair.
And I think my clients have evolved with me.
Yep.
Like I started probably from when I got engaged, started getting mums.
MILF Hunter.
Yeah. But it's like before that, I wasn't training in the gym. I did, but online very rarely.
Yep.
But I started to get into this like slightly older demographic, like late 20s, that had kids or that had careers or that whatever, because it reflected my life.
Yep.
So I think if your situation's maybe a little bit different because you're still talking to the mid-20s bodybuilder.
Yeah. So I agree. To show yourself though, you have to know, you have to be willing to kind of know who you are and willing to say what is on your mind and what you think and what you feel.
I think,
because most people are too scared to do that.
I agree. But I would say I was doing that before I'd figured my own shit out.
I agree.
But I just attracted other people that hadn't figured their shit out as well.
Yeah.
We're all just chaos.
It was just a throwaway. Just a throwaway question.
Yeah.
Because you just like, I just wonder, do you get more successful? And it does it become easier as that happens?
I think it's definitely easier to present yourself as you get older because you are more comfortable with who you are.
Yeah. Like
I don't care about, I care about the internet less, so much less now than I did 9 weeks ago. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it's like my wife and my son love me. Whatever the internet thinks.
Yeah.
Like, maybe if I blow up and 100 people hate me, I'll have to deal with that. But like,
the first time is going to be tough, right?
Yeah, it's like, but compared to when I was 27, that would have fucking destroyed me.
Yeah, I guess on top of that, it's like you've stacked the proof too, though, because that makes it easier. Yeah. Someone comes at you just like, brother, have a look at all this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That's where, again, like, I don't want to be, I don't want to come across like I'm super negative and against people going online. I'm not. I think it's amazing. However,
these are the challenges.
Yeah, if you don't have the proof.
Yeah. So I think the way to navigate, maybe if you are the person, it's like, I don't really know myself yet. I don't know where I am. I had a consult with like that yesterday, the girl who literally said that. It's like, I don't even really know if I'm staying in my hometown, if I'm moving, if I'm doing this. Like, I don't really know what's going on. And I'm like, the way to solve that, to still be successful, is just talk to the person.
Absolutely.
What do they need to hear today? What would you say to them if they're a client? And just push that forwards. In terms of like being yourself, it's, you don't have to understand yourself internally, externally, to be able to use Slay Queen in your posts. If that's how you speak and that's how your clients speak, then you can do that.
Yeah, we just lost half of the audience.
Yeah.
Don't say that again. Nah,
they'll stay. It's all right.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think
knowing the person is super important.
Speaking in their language and tone and all that kind of stuff will negate the figuring it out, and you'll figure it out.
I saw a post today. It said, learn how to speak client, not personal trainer.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the more you learn how to do that.
That was like 20 minutes in one sentence. You could have done that ages ago.
This is what I do. I let you just like ramble and I'll poke you like, for a little bit.
Boom.
And then I'm like, let's move on.
Yeah. We're done with this now. All right. Yeah. So you know who it is. So one thing that we encourage everyone to do is get to know that person beyond that surface level shit we just said.
Yeah.
So we do 100 pain points and it's not like they have poor ankle mobility. That's in there. But it's also like they change their outfit 5 times in the mirror before they go out on Friday night. Or a couple of the ones we had yesterday, both of them were like 25 starting, and you have a lot of these clients as well, starting to like separate from their old friendship group, starting to take life more seriously. Yeah, in that like quarter life transition that happens.
Yeah.
They were in the mix of that. So it's like, we'll talk about that. What is that? How does that affect? Like, you're going to have to make content about saying no about going out on the weekend and prioritizing sleep, and Sunday mornings are better. And you're going to have to talk about all of that because that's what they're going through in their life right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where getting to know the person beyond they want nice glutes is really important, particularly online. And that's what will separate you and allow you to be one of the ones that makes it. And not just writing calorie swap posts.
Yeah, well, you're competing with the sets and reps crew, right?
Yeah.
Just in a different area.
Yeah.
That's surface level shit. It's not meaningful enough to be like, this person understands me.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what you want them to feel. They understand me.
Yeah.
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 So once you've got all that, then we go into identifying the problems. You've got the 100. If you take those 100, they'll probably break down into like 5 areas.
So many.
3 to 5 sometimes. And that's what we talk about with our pillars. So today we're doing the 5S thing. We're at number 2. We're doing all right. Not going to make it
part one.
So what are the areas that you need to solve problems in? And you can start to get an idea of like what your business really looks like.
Yeah.
What are the obstacles in those areas? And then you can go, well, does my business actually solve them?
Yeah.
Does my business have something in place to help someone who is having trouble saying no to alcohol on Saturday night? Like, oh, fuck, I need that resource. I need that video series. I need that content. I need that whatever. Or I need to create a space in their check-ins that they can talk about that.
Yeah. Or is that there? A culture.
Yeah. Am I just
that it's okay to live a certain way irrespective of like the circle they're in? And
correct. That kind of maybe shit. I need a group chat so all the people that are going through that feel like they belong somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's important. Maybe Sunday morning is the events time for my clients. Like, start to unpack, okay, well, how do I solve that problem in my business?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, your service reflects the people.
Mm.
You do that enough. That was one.
Yeah.
But I saw your face go, oh, fuck, that's really good. You do that enough times, all of a sudden, your product's really good.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you're less worried about what someone else is going to think about your social media post because you know you solve a lot of problems for people and you can really help.
Yeah. That was the biggest jump I made.
Yeah.
Like, even when people maybe like not that I would have cared anyway, like got hung up on like how the language. I remember one day I spoke to someone, I can't remember who it was. We're just getting hung up on semantics. And I said, my clients don't understand that the way you speak.
Yeah.
And I say, they understand the way I speak. And he was just like, fair.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's it. That's the end of it.
Done. Yeah.
It's like, I can sit here and talk textbook with you if you want, bro. Like, yeah, it's fine. I went to university too.
Yeah.
my guys don't understand that shit.
Yeah.
As soon as I start. I remember, so we're at, this is a really good example of knowing a client, right? So we went out for dinner. Two of my clients come down. They start prep this week. So we went out for dinner. And she was like, why do you take these supplements? And I'm just like, so this is a precursor to this and this is that. And there's millions of enzymatic reactions in your body and there's cofactors to those. And this is one of those cofactors. And then you need, and she's like, I don't understand what you just fucking said to me.
Good on her for saying it, not going, oh, all right.
Her eyes, as I was talking, her eyes were just getting wider and wider and wider. And like, and Steph goes, he always fucking talks to me like this and I understand what he's saying. So then I just said, one's good for energy production, one's great to help you metabolize your carbohydrates, and this one will just help with your detoxification. And she just went, amazing.
Done.
I'll get them tomorrow. So that's a prime example of like understanding who the person is.
Yeah.
And then you have a large degree of confidence once you learn how to communicate with that person to just talk a certain way online, irrespective of like,
yeah,
someone's like, oh, that's shit.
Some textbook jockey, yeah.
Yeah, it's like even when, you know, Jess and I were like, said personal trainer said they were lean, and Jess and I were like, that's not fucking lean.
Yeah.
And then it's, you were like, well, it's lean to most people. And I was like, that's so true.
Yeah.
But it's not to meathead and meat girl.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was like, I'm happy to look like that.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, mate, I've been fucking way more shredded than this bloke.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How dare you even use the term shredded? Yeah.
Look, I wouldn't have said shredded either.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think my comment was, he gives me hope in the fitness industry.
So yeah, but that's still language, knowing the person, right?
Correct. Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck that the bodybuilder doesn't think he's lean.
Exactly. And then I don't give a fuck if someone's coming at
me
for it.
And he actually made a piece of content about it that all his team were like, yeah, fuck those people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really smart. So putting all that together will give you a foundation of confidence to understand what the fuck you do, why you exist.
Yeah.
If you don't have that online, it's going to be really, really tough. You're just going to impersonate other people that you've seen do things and wonder why it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Boom.
And you, yeah, it's, that, this, yeah, we get hung up on this so much.
Quick episode break. You guys know, if you've seen anything that I create on my stories, my design skills suck. My socials still look good because we went and got help. Now you can too. STC's new web service can take your business branding and design to the next level. Ash and the team didn't just create templates for us. They dove into who we were, what we cared about, and what our message is, and helped us to design an overall brand that represents what we care about. We use their social pack every single day. They built our website, and they even helped us build out our app. All those services are now available to you. You just have to go to stcfit.com, navigate to web services, find out what it's all about, and book a free discovery call to see what is right for you.
Service.
All right, let's do it.
Actually, systems first. So,
all right, let's do that too.
What we did yesterday, because we haven't finished systems. So the intro of systems, why does my business exist? What do I need?
Yeah.
Second part is going to be what we did yesterday in Standout PT, which is
track your fucking data.
Data tracking.
Yeah.
We shit on PTs all the time because you tell your clients to track their data and you don't fucking do it.
Did you like the start of my presentation?
I did. It was really good.
Yeah, thank you.
The whole presentation was good.
Needed a little bit more validation for the start.
I was doing shit at the same time.
It was really good, Jace.
Looks good.
Looks good. Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
So we have put together like the metrics that we think are important. Things like, how many DMs did you send? How many replies did you get? How many appointments did you book? How many new followers did you get? I like it tracking engagement because that seems to be the actual metric that matters.
Yep.
People get caught up in likes and shares and blah, blah, blah.
I think at the start, you might want to start with those things first, though, because you're not going to get engagement.
If your content sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to get engagement if you're doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Or you've got no one.
Yeah. So you might need to start there, and then
as
your game gets serious, it's like, cool, how many people are actually
engaging? Yeah.
Yeah, talking to you.
Then you've got things like lifetime client value. You've got retention, average prices, all that kind of stuff that then allows you to make business decisions.
Mm.
So we were just having a conversation about a potential new product or two new products that I want to work on, just, you know, because we're really bored and got nothing to do.
creating more anxiety.
Sure. To launch those products, there's going to need to be a spend involved.
Yeah.
Because they're actually not going to probably go through my organic channels. I'm just going to do paid marketing for them.
Yeah.
So I need to anticipate what's the client lifetime value, how much it's going to cost me to market to them, what's a sale worth, and how much do I have and or am willing to spend to acquire a client.
Yeah.
So if you want to not rely on DMs, engagement, being on social media all the time, the other, you know, other way to do that is to pay.
Yeah.
So you either pay with time or you pay with money on social media. That's how it works.
Agreed.
So you need to know inside your business how that works.
Yeah.
We just spent $4,000-$4,500, I think, on the expo.
Yeah.
And we've done the math. Okay, well, what do we need to get that back?
Yeah.
And that was the conversation was straight away. It was like, client lifetime value is X. We should be able to generate Y.
This many.
Done. We do the same when we travel interstate. It's all based off those fundamental numbers.
Yeah.
You need to have them for your online business.
As well. Yeah, and that happens in the future. It doesn't happen immediately.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, which means you need a budget, which is the next thing that we look at, to be able to have marketing budget, savings put aside.
Yeah.
We use multiple different bank accounts to put specific money in to actually be able to manage that. So we're going to hear a crazy story.
Let's do it.
I had one of my coaching clients. We went through what we call a God doc. So it's the budget and all of their income streams and everything that's going on the same page. He was able to increase his weekly, call it salary, his pay. I think he doubled it.
Yeah.
So he went from like 14 to 3K.
Mad.
Yeah. It's like, just because it was like, here's everything laid out.
Yeah.
You're exhausted. You feel like you're working so hard. You're not getting anywhere. The business isn't growing, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wait, none of this makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I know you're fucking killing it.
Where's the money?
So we laid it all out and it was just like, bro, you're just putting
too much.
How much money do you have in your fucking savings account right now?
Yeah.
Like, and why isn't it on your mortgage?
Yeah.
He was like, oh. So just having that information allows you to make such better decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's systems. Tick.
Done.
Coffee's kicked in. That was high cadence.
It was very high cadence.
You slowed me down, Jason. Next is service.
Yep.
So if you've identified who that person is effectively, service should be pretty easy.
Yep.
Almost everyone is like, there's like gold standard of personal training, right? It's like, I think at this point, got to have an app because consumer demands it. Then you're going to have a weekly check-in more than likely if they're online. How you're delivering that is going to be dependent on the person. We're seeing heaps of people still do Zoom calls. I don't like it. I think it's silly. But I get it. Just make sure you charge a shitload for it if you're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But removing the flexibility component.
Yeah. Hammers you into a time. I don't think time for money is a bad thing. I think.
No.
I think being pinned to a time is the harsh thing.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing one-on-one coaching again for the business stuff and it's like. Ugh.
Yeah. I think if you only did online coaching, it would be.
It might be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does remove that flexibility that we said is a huge pro.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everyone's kind of doing that. Then it's like, okay, what else is there? Events, community, inclusions, resources.
Yeah.
Like extra shit that you're putting through during the week, all that kind of stuff. Like what level of service are you going to based on what the client needs?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people do it out of fear. I have to message my clients every day. Why?
Yeah.
My clients message me when they need me.
Yeah, yeah.
And a check-in day.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, services are, again, just what are all those obstacles? Does my business solve them?
Yeah.
And make sure that it does.
Yeah. I agree.
Any of that?
I think it's, like a combination of like access to information or access to you.
Yeah.
Are you doing things that other people maybe aren't? Because people like that kind of stuff too. So that's where the event thing is quite important.
Yeah.
And then, like your service needs to reflect, well, the fee and the service need to be pretty, you know, kind of bang on par. And your business metrics will reflect whether you're, you know, where you need to be or not.
Yeah.
Because your retention will be lower if the fee is high and the value is low. Even just trying to find ways to add value that don't cost you time or money. It's like if you actually sit down, like we do an activity where, you know, we do high value, low cost and cost his time and money and or money. And there's so many things you can do when you think outside the box. Mm. So when someone sits there and they're like, I get all of this, it's like, that's really what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in our standout presentation, I have a slide called steak knives. It's just like all the extra shit that you get.
Yeah.
That for us is like low cost.
Yeah.
So in standout PT, you get every single document that we use in our business.
Yeah.
Trackers, budgets, contracts, all of it. The real shit that we actually use.
Yeah.
Really low input for us because we use it.
Yeah.
So it's easy to give it to someone else.
It's already been created too.
Value for the client. I had someone tell me, I think they bought 1K a week or standout, one of the two. Must have been standout because he said that contract was worth $5,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Because how many people are going to...
That saved me / made me $5,000.
Yeah. Great.
So yeah, super high value. And I would argue that if people follow it, the budget template is worth exponentially more than that as well. If you follow it. All right. Self done, systems done, service done.
Yeah.
Sales.
Yep.
I don't think we'll go into a full this is how to do social
media. We've done sales episodes before. Yeah.
Maybe anyway. We do a socials episode at some point, but my current position, it was funny. I was thinking about our module and I was like, does it need a refresh? And it's actually gone so far now that it's right again, which is wild.
Yeah.
Like pre-lockdown, we had the 44-4 or the 24-4-2 rule. Mm. So DM interactions doesn't mean cold DM people you don't know and
chatting
fucking
to people.
Requests.
Yeah.
Engaging with 40 people a week, posting 4 times a week, speaking on your story 4 times a week,
yeah.
Posting your call to action twice a week.
Yeah.
If you do that, I would predict if you're okay at it, one to two clients a fortnight.
Yep.
You drop it to 20 interactions a week, it'll be
less.
One a fortnight, two a month.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree with that.
And it sounds too good to be true. It sounds too simple to be true, but it's like follow the program, do the reps, do the sets, and you'll build muscle. Eat the protein, get the sleep.
Yeah. But it's like I think the easiest analogy is you've got the trainer that sits in the PT office trying to build their business, and then you've got the trainer out in the gym floor. So that's the DMs are conversations in the gym.
Yep.
The posts are, you know, actually walking
people
up.
People seeing you
train people. People seeing you do the thing.
Yeah.
And then the stories are you showing what you do in a day. So maybe you're training at the gym and people are seeing you work out or something. Like, let's just say that. Or people are listening to how you're coaching people and liking what they hear. Who's building their business faster? The one that just sits in the PT office, walks out for their appointment, goes back into the PT office, just playing with their phone, watching fucking TikToks or something.
Mm-hmm.
Online is exactly the same.
Yeah.
The more exposure you get, the more, you know, the more into people's attention you get or the forefront of people's attention you are, you're setting yourself up for success.
Yeah. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
So that made social media sound really easy. But if you combine the client, knowing them, speaking to those pain points, if you write 100 pain points, you got 100 pieces of content.
Yeah. Making content's so easy once you have the pain points and you know the person.
And so this is tier one. We go into like building campaigns and have specific topics and structures and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's a thing. Yeah. It definitely like puts a multiplier on your outcomes.
Yeah, agreed.
But for most people, if I explain it right now, you'll be like, that's too hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely.
Instead, if you've written 100 problems that your client has, 100 obstacles that they face in their day-to-day life with their health and fitness, that you can present a solution to. If you did that 4 times a week, that's 25 weeks of content.
Yeah.
After 25 weeks of content, I can tell you that first week of content will make you want to vomit and you'll fucking hate it and wish you could do it differently.
Yeah.
So you can do it again.
Yeah.
And then it'll be the same thing in 25 weeks and you can do it again. And whether it's a reel or a carousel or a picture or whatever, I think, honestly, do the thing that has the lowest friction for you.
Yeah.
There's people out there with 30,000 followers that built their account off typing on their story with the basic text and posting it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just got really good at speaking to their clients. So do that. do what you're comfortable with, what you find easy to do, what's low friction for you.
What's going to be the best quality too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you can worry about, like, you can DM us if you like a branding kit. We can put it, get it done for you. Like what we have, all of our stuff is templated. All the designs, all of everything.
Yeah.
Mine's usually just something Jace made 6 months ago that I changed from black to white because I fucking suck at it.
Yeah.
But it looks different enough and it's consistent.
But we have a unified text across the business.
Yeah.
We have your branding, logos, you know, colorways. Yeah. Everything is consistent now. So if you look at everything, it's just the colors that made me change.
Yeah. So if you're already doing 4 posts a week, worry about that shit.
Yeah.
If you're not,
just don't. Do the show up.
Yeah. So if you're already doing 4 posts a week, you're not quite getting the traction you want, cool. Come get a branding kit. We'll make it look spicy for you. Have a look what your next steps are in terms of like landing pages, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Little shout out. I found the opt-in page web builder on MailerLite. It's very good.
Cool.
Very good. So if you don't want to build a website and you need a landing page, we used to send people to lead pages.
Yeah.
But then you'd have to plug lead pages to MailerLite and shit anyway. It's actually, I'm a fan.
Cool.
I built one the other day.
Awesome. Look forward to you building ones for me too.
Where are we? Sales.
Sales. Yeah.
Get on Zoom calls with people.
Yes.
So one thing I ran into yesterday, before we go there, take the fucking application for coaching that no one's ever clicked and submitted out of your fucking bio. Every single person I talk to, I say, how many people have filled that out? 9 times out of 10, it's 0. Yeah. And then yesterday, that was like, oh, maybe like 2 a month. And I was like, fuck, it's working for someone. And I was like, oh, cool. And they convert? She's like, oh, no, they usually ghost after they filled it out.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. So that's not a waste of fucking time. So get that out of your bio. It's useless.
Yeah.
You're probably not at influencer level that people are bashing down your door to work with you.
That's it. I think it comes with the degree of notoriety and how big your following is.
Also, my kind of thing, and I tell this story when this comes up in consults, I've got a woman I train in the States who's outside of my normal niche.
Yeah.
Little bit older, 3 kids, huge fat loss. I think she's lost like 60 pounds or something ridiculous.
Cool.
Amazing transformation. Love training her. It's awesome. But it's not who I usually talk to. So my business isn't set up to target her.
Yeah.
She just likes the Australian accent for the start, heard the podcast, and then ended up a client.
Yeah.
So she sent me 6 referrals.
Yeah.
I think one of them stayed for a year. One of them did 3 check-ins. And maybe there's been 4 or 5 others that I've messaged because she said, hey, send this person a message.
Yeah.
Soon as I mentioned Zoom call, ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not call. Hell no. Not talking to a big, scary meathead personal trainer from Australia.
I had one the other day, actually. She's just like, I'm not going on a Zoom call and I need to know your prices and stuff. I was just like, sure, here you go. This isn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, so for that sounds terrible, right? It's like, oh, but you scared them away with the Zoom call. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they weren't, if they're not going to do a Zoom call, they're not going to do a check-in. They're not going to send me their videos. They're not going
to... And you're not going to be able to do your job if that's how it's set up. Like if you want to extract all the information, build a relationship.
Yeah. There's so much friction there already. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just a lesson in understanding, like getting face-to-face is really important.
Yeah.
I think. So your goal is to get an appointment with them, preferably a video call, to actually be able to convey your value and solve some problems.
Yeah, break some walls down too.
Yeah.
I know when people see this and then they hear me speak, it's two totally different.
Very different things.
Yeah.
Amy, I'm well aware. Bro, Amy and I still talk about, so you were still at Good Life, is how long ago this was.
Yeah.
I think you were still doing my nutrition, that's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
We came out to Good Life to do a pinch test.
Yeah.
And we're in like the tiny little office. And like for me, it was like, righto, key shirt off, just fucking grabbing me, pushing me around, twisting me around and shit, just writing it down. He's like, oh cool, here's your thing. And then Amy was like, I said, oh, do you want to do yours? And like, it just you left. I swear, like, Jason fucking left the room and somebody else came in and was like, all right, are you, like, happy to take your singlet off? I'm just going to grab you here.
Yeah.
Like, your tone changed, your posture changed, yeah. Everything fucking, it was like, Jesus Christ, who is this guy? Why aren't you that nice to me?
Why does he hate me?
So, it is important to be able to create that relationship, to build, even from a retention tool too, like, not building that relationship early makes it really challenging to get people beyond 12 weeks, I think.
Oh, super, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't, you just become another program, another online coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you don't get buy-in, you don't get, there's no honesty, there's no real in-depth kind of conversation and stuff to help overcome obstacles and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you just become, I just followed their program, it didn't really work for me. It's like, we didn't really kind of get to, you know, kind of, connect.
Really cool thing that's always stuck in my head from, you know, Last Chance U, this TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was one of the NFL ones. And the coach said, in high school football, strategy doesn't matter. All you need is for all of your players to look at the coach and say, I would run head first through a brick wall for you.
Mm.
That's it. Nothing else matters. And it's the same with coaching.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, cool. We take our programming very seriously. We take our nutrition very seriously. Lifestyle adjustments, all of that stuff very seriously.
Yeah.
If you're not bought into doing the thing because you trust the person that's telling you to do it, it's a fucking waste of time.
Agreed. Yeah.
So, yeah, what I think we might do, Tam's back in the room so I can throw him under the bus, is put, I think there's an episode called Sell Without Selling, where we actually break down the sales process really deliberately. Today, I want to talk more just like process.
Overall stuff. Yeah.
What you need to know to go online sales. Yeah. We could do a full weekend workshop on this whole thing. Maybe that's the one we'll do later in the year.
Online trainer?
Yeah, becoming an online coach. Mm. Oh. Let's lock that in. I like it. Okay.
Done.
So, that's sales. Skills. Outside of being good at programming, which is, in my opinion, because I'm good at it, the most important thing about online coaching is your ability to be good at programming.
Yeah.
What other skill sets are really important?
Communication.
Coaching, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, communication specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you... What advice are you giving someone who's maybe has... They either have clients and their retention's not great, they're struggling to get them, or they're like, I'm going to go online... What are you saying to them? Because, like, communication is a pretty broad word.
Yeah, well, it's tough because we did a course that's not around anymore. We did a coaching.
It's in standout PT though.
Yeah, we did a short weekend coaching course, which was really useful to kind of forge good relationships and have productive conversations.
Yeah.
I think that as a coach, you need to understand that always has to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to get, like, just these, a book of just super robotic clients that there's never going to be any problems and you never have to investigate any further. And, you know, life's really easy because they just follow the plan and stuff. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have, like, this connection where they can come and stay at your house and you can have dinner and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, obviously we lean into it a lot in standout. We do a whole unit on coaching, like how to ask questions, how to engage in conversation, how to break down barriers to open things up with problems and stuff that... You know the problem, but you don't know how to navigate.
Yep.
It all comes down to how to structure the conversation. Mm-hmm. But what we can't teach people is they actually have to give a fuck. They actually have to want to help the person.
Yep.
And they have to take their own kind of, you know, egos and ambitions out of the equation and actually be there just to help that particular person. And then the one thing that I've gravitated towards is understanding the styles that you need to be as a communicator and as a leader.
Yeah.
And it's not always a, you know, collaborative, highly involved with the person. Sometimes there is like autocratic, you know, that autocratic style, which usually gets like really bastardized. Mm. Sometimes you need to gravitate towards that. And it's just knowing like, what is this person, how does this person get the most out of me?
Yeah.
Communication wise, okay, cool. Collaboration is really important.
Yeah.
You work with a lot of coaches. I would say you guys together, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?
Yeah.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
As soon as there's a deadline,
it all changes.
It's autocratic now.
Yeah.
Do what you're told. There's no, you can ask questions and I will explain.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you're not that involved in decision making anymore.
Yeah.
You know, this is what you've hired me for and we're going to do things my way.
Yeah.
So
I'm like often autocratic but presented as collaborative.
Yeah, you're like, you kind of say, you ask for their input and then you're like, yeah, we're going to do this anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is what I've put together and here's why. What do you think? And it's like, you're going to say, okay, because I've just justified every single decision.
Yeah, and that's actually a style in Democratic. So they just have to be on board with it.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily have to, they don't have to be involved in it. They just have to be willing to go along with it.
Correct.
So you need to, and then obviously the last one's like laissez-faire, but you never do that in coaching. You don't want a bunch of people to just do whatever. They just do it. Yeah. That's that fucking woo-woo bullshit acceptance coaching, which I can't fucking stand. So anyway, it's understanding the styles, understanding how to communicate, understanding how to get the most out of people, how to have good conversations, and really like always make the interactions purposeful.
Yeah.
So we always talk about face-to-face. Like, I don't really like just talking about the weekend and gossiping and stuff. It's like, you can do that if you've said, how's your training sessions going? Yeah. Have you got everything in? What's going on? Like, you know, I had a look at your data and stuff. Like, we didn't really kind of move things with the waist measurement this week or whatever. Like, are we having any issues with our diet? Can I help you? You know, all of that directive stuff, which is like awkward to say because like, they're like, I know this person's not following the plan. I don't know how to engage in conversation with that person. So that if you can do those things, and I would argue that's another benefit of like being a good online, like face-to-face coach first. You can take those things to the online space.
Yeah. So if you're just friends with all your face-to-face clients, that's a warning sign as well. Yeah. Like the first part of your session should be very pragmatic.
Yeah.
Let's review your week. It's like we're the main thing that we're pushing now in Standout, probably me in particular, is like you shouldn't be doing external check-ins with face-to-face clients, I don't think. Because that's what your session's for.
Yeah, you can just do it in the session, yeah.
Yeah, like the questions that are in the check-in you should be asking. And then they fill out the data and you can bring up the data in the session.
You
and
can
be like,
bring up a review maybe. Correct. Not, you don't need to kind of dive deep because the session's for
it's
that.
It's already there, right? So, yeah, I think if you're just having a good time with your clients every day and not actually talking about and having those tough conversations, why is someone... Online coaching is so much more outcome-based.
Yeah.
Than face to face.
Mm.
Because no one's paying you for not an outcome.
Yeah.
Online.
Yeah.
Like it's because they can go to the gym and get no results by themselves.
Yeah. It's really hard to get a message across to someone when you don't know how to frame a question.
Yeah.
Online.
Yeah.
And then even understanding how to deliver that message. It's like sometimes I'm like, text tennis isn't going to work.
Yeah.
Zoom tennis isn't going to work. Let's have 5 to 10 minutes, nail this, move on.
Yeah.
Sometimes text tennis works. Sometimes Zoom tennis works or, you know,
Loom videos
worry. Sorry. And then, so yeah, like that is, you have to understand how to communicate to do that, to know and be aware of language, tone, you know, and all of that stuff comes from being on the gym floor, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you get to experience that first.
Outside of that course, have you done anything useful? Other than reps?
I think, obviously, because I had to write the content for the coaching unit.
Yeah.
I had to, you know, go into the weeds on, you know, kind of leadership styles because irrespective of whether you want to be or not, you're a leader if you're a personal trainer.
Yeah.
People follow you. That's leadership.
Yeah.
So you need a, so then understanding those stages of change, understanding where people are in their mind when they do want to make a decision. Some people can be pretty far away from that. A little bit deeper on motivational interviewing as well. So yeah, like those things were just a manifestation of me kind of creating like what I think was needed to kind of help people interact with their clients and build good relationships and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, the question thing is everything. It's just like, if you don't know how to ask a good question, like you're going to fail.
It's real hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's like, you just move away from like, how'd you go with your nutrition last week? Like it's a terrible question.
Yeah.
It's an absolute terrible question.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah. I like it. So, beep.
Bang on.
Shh. All right. So, that's all 5 pillars. Tam will put the sales one specifically in there. We talk about socials all the time. So, if you're paying attention, there's probably some clues there.
Yeah.
Nothing else to really add I think we've done a good job of showing that there are downsides. The upsides are you can make $2,000-$3,000 a week working from your desk.
Yeah.
And have quite a bit of more flexibility than probably any other job that you make that kind of money.
Yeah, and there's more people in the space that you probably want to specialize in across the country than in your gym.
Agreed.
Like I really struggled to get a book of physique athletes who were super committed and placed it in their top five priorities, and some placed it in their top three. You know, now I have a substantial book of clients that I have that.
Yeah.
And that's because, we're working across the country / kind of the world. So that is the benefit of it.
Mm.
Just everything comes at a cost, and you have to learn the cost of that and make sure you show up.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the idea of choosing your trade-off.
Yeah.
Choose the regret, choose your trade-off, that kind of intent going into anything.
Yeah.
What is this actually going to cost me? If you just look at the upside, it makes it real hard to be successful, because when that downside comes...
Yeah, it's hard. yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, we have this conversation. I know the buzz has gone off. We have this conversation at home literally yesterday. Spoke about it. It was 2 years ago, I was dreaming of doing what I'm doing today.
Mm.
So at the end of, I think it was 7.5 hours on Zoom yesterday. It's at the end of that day, it's of course I'm tired.
Yeah.
But it's
this is what you asked for.
Shut the fuck up. This is what you wanted.
Yes,
someone's annoying you about a gym. Yes, you're fucking managing comps. Yes, you've got sales calls and consults and fucking the clients that you wanted and blah, 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 blah. You've still got to put content out, and you've still got to, because it's what you asked for.
Yeah.
You asked for all the outcomes that come with that stuff.
Yep.
You got to do the thing. It was the same with my wife. Our child's very demanding, and he only likes to sleep on you and not in by himself. But it's 3 years ago, fucking 18 months ago, we were pulling our hair out because we were trying for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
this is part of it.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then the ups, as soon as he smiles, everything's fine.
Yeah, it's all worth it.
Don't care.
Yeah.
So, it's really important to review all the downsides as much as you review the upsides, because it's easy for it to sound sexy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so hopefully that was useful enough for you to make a decision as to whether it's a pathway you want to take and it's something that you think is going to be useful for you. We did make reference to Standout throughout. I didn't want to fucking hard sell you into the Standout PT program, but literally it's designed for this. The whole idea of Standout PT is to take you from a position where you're kind of working for your clients. You're always chasing new business. You've got no systems in place. Nothing's repeatable. You're not training the people you want to work with. And it's all just pretty much chaos. To then systemizing it to a point, our check mark is could somebody come out, somebody else come into your business and work in it the same way you do? And the only difference being personality.
Yeah.
When you have that, you can go online. And when you don't, online's really hard. When you do, online's actually pretty easy to manage.
Yeah.
There's still, we've got to do all the downsides we talked about, but it's pretty easy to manage. If you're unsure, not sure what to do, go to the website, stcfit.com, go to the Standout PT link. All the information about the course is there. Before you can sign up, you actually have to go through a call with me. Yep. So if you have questions, you have anything that you want to know, we can address it in there. We do that on purpose. You can't just pay on the spot, because all the reason we talked about today, you won't have buy-in, you won't have belief.
Yeah.
We won't have kind of set you up for what to expect. Yeah.
Need to see if you're the right fit.
And you're not going to show up to the calls. Yeah. And if you don't show up to the calls, you don't get results.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So that's why we have that kind of in place. It's not like a tricky sales technique. Hopefully by the time this comes out, our new landing page is up and the prices are on there.
Mm.
But you still have to go through that call just to make sure it's going to work for you. We can get you a result.
Yeah, definitely.
That means if you have questions, you can ask in that call as well. So if you're on the fence, just book an appointment. You have 45 minutes with me and we'll figure out whether or not it's worthwhile. Worst case is you leave with a 45-minute business coaching session for nothing.
Mm.
If you do that, I'll fight you. No, I'm kidding. That's the end of the episode. I don't know what we're talking about next week. Probably be Q&A again. Have a good week.
See you next time, guys.